stiff arm. Gore cuts it inside. Frank Gore is still going. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Two from the 40. Couple of tight ends. Receiver right and Adrian. Hand off Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle. Across the 30. To the 20. Inside the 10. Touchdown.
First down and 10. Johnson gets a shoulder square. Watch out. He's got getting away from the top speed. Touchdown.
Welcome in to Grinding the Edge, episode number 57 here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa, and you can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa, and everywhere else at Koopa Troopa 8. If you haven't checked out everything we have going on in the South Harmon website, you need to go do that. Go check out the Warp tool. I talk about it all the time, and I'm going to be using Warp a little bit in today's episode, but if you have not looked at how your league scoring settings affect how you want to build your teams, you need to look at Warp. So go to warp.life or southharmonff.com. They'll both take you to the same place and you can check it out. While you're there, also check out all the other things we have going on. This is the time of year where you're in a little bit of a dead spot. Maybe you want a team review with me, Eric, Adam, Mike, anybody on the South Harmon team, you can sign up for a team review there. And you can also go check out some of our promo codes that we have. Our newest one is one with Fanatics. Now, it's not going to get you anything, but it might lead to some great things in the future. So if you're already going on Fanatics, you're getting yourself some NBA gear, some MLB gear, NFL, NHL, anything for any sports team, toss in our promo code and it might lead something awesome for a giveaway in the future. So for this week's episode, it is going to be a recap and an update to an episode that I did last summer. Last summer, episode 21, if you want to go back and listen to it, it was why you want rookie quarterbacks and not other positions. More specifically, what happens to the values of rookie quarterbacks after 1 year? And so what I have noticed this most recent year is a lot of people passing up on the rookie quarterbacks who got drafted really highly in the NFL draft. Now, they weren't necessarily all the names that we expected. So we expected Cam Ward to go number one overall. We were thinking Jackson Dart would probably get round one draft capital, but it wasn't 100% certain. And then we also got Tyler Shough, who got top 50 draft capital. And those three quarterbacks, I have noticed them all falling further than I would expect. And what I want to do is lay back out the case for why you want to invest in these quarterbacks and why it's a good thing for Dynasty value to be doing so. Because a lot of the teams that should be investing in these quarterbacks are teams that need to have that Dynasty value. Or at the very least, you can have that Dynasty value and hold on to it until you need to spend it in the season. These are not going to be volatile assets that, like at other skill positions, they don't get on the field, they don't produce right out of the gate, that you're scrambling to try and get anything out of them before it falls like a brick. So I'm going to lay out that case here, just like I did last year, and then also update it with 2024 data. So going back to 2020, we have five quarterbacks who got that top 50 overall draft capital. Those quarterbacks are Joe Burrow, Tua Tagovailoa, Justin Herbert, Jordan Love, and Jalen Hurts. That year, two of those quarterbacks went down in terms of their overall quarterback rating on Keep Trade Cut, and the other three went up, or at least maintained. The two that went down were Joe Burrow, who went from quarterback 7 to quarterback 8. Remember, his rookie year, he ended up tearing his ACL. It kind of became a lost year for him, and he only dropped one overall quarterback spot. In any other position, that's going to be a pretty devastating injury, and that's going to be something that you're going to be worrying a lot about. A quarterback, rookie quarterback has that problem, you don't really care. Tua Tagovailoa, he didn't come out and show as much as we wanted to see from him, but he still maintained quarterback 10 to quarterback 15. Not a huge difference. The other three quarterbacks, I'll start with the worst one, Jordan Love, quarterback 30 to quarterback 30. He got drafted, he never played his rookie year. That kind of makes sense that he just maintained his value. Jalen Hurts went from quarterback 35 to quarterback 15, so he jumped up 20 spots. And Justin Herbert went from quarterback 22 to quarterback 4. We weren't expecting Justin Herbert to play his rookie season, but thanks to a trainer mishap with Tyrod Taylor, we got to see him earlier, and he did great. Even if we had seen him earlier and he didn't do well, we all know what the narrative would have been. He went in too early. When Tyrod Taylor came back from his injury, he would have replaced Justin Herbert if Justin Herbert wasn't playing that well, and we would have given him a free pass because he was starting too early in his NFL career. But instead, he rose up to the challenge, and that's how you get overall quarterback 4 out of him. But notably, for all five of those quarterbacks, their value more or less maintains or it rises after 1 year. In 2021, we saw another set of five quarterbacks enter in the top 50 picks. You see Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, and Mac Jones. Now, this one doesn't quite have the same level of quarterback 22 to quarterback 4 and quarterback 35 to 15 that you had in 2020. But Trevor Lawrence went from quarterback 6 to quarterback 11. He only went down a few spots. Zach Wilson was by far the worst performer, quarterback 11 to quarterback 19. But even that quarterback 19, that's still worth a later first round pick. You can easily re-roll that if you aren't believing in him. Trey Lance doesn't even play his rookie year, quarterback 9 to quarterback 8. He goes up a spot for doing basically nothing. Justin Fields goes out quarterback 11 to quarterback 13. He maintains his value. Mac Jones, quarterback 20 to quarterback 18. Remember when we were talking about Mac Jones as, you know, a quarterback that we wanted and not, you know, a backup quarterback who has now made his jump to the 49ers as a backup? All the way back then, he went up in value year over year in 2021. So all these rookie quarterbacks, they're maintaining or increasing that value. And the ones that are going down, I say they're maintaining because they're not going to be drastically different. You're still going to get really, really solid value out of them. In 2022, we only had one quarterback that fit this metric, and it was Kenny Pickett. Now, Kenny Pickett, we know now as, you know, Super Bowl winning Kenny Pickett, who went out and, you know, finished the Super Bowl off, and he's now on the Browns after being traded twice last season and this most recent offseason. And what we don't remember is that after his rookie year, he went from quarterback 21 to quarterback 18. That's an increase in value for somebody that literally 3 years later, and even just 2 years later, we were like, hey, this guy worth nothing. 2023, we have the steepest drop-off of any quarterback in Bryce Young, who started at quarterback 10 and went down to quarterback 21. However, do you know what quarterback 21 still is worth? Right around a late first. And so you can still get out of Bryce Young. Sure, you might have blown that first overall in 2023 on Bryce Young, or it might have been a second overall if you were getting Bijan Robinson instead. But you're still getting a first in value out of him. You aren't going fully to a zero like you did if you had Treylon Burks. Like, you could have easily ended up with the wrong player. And so that's why you keep looking at these quarterbacks, because their drop-off is not all the way to nothing. In that same 2023 draft class as Bryce Young being the worst quarterback on a year-to-year ratio, you end up with CJ Stroud going from quarterback 12 to quarterback 3. Anthony Richardson goes from quarterback 9 to quarterback 7, and he played a whole, like, 3 games that year or something like that. I think it was 2 full games and 2 games he got injured in. Will Levis is the other quarterback in that class who was drafted in the top 50, quarterback 30 to quarterback 24. Did he show us anything in 2023 that made us go, oh, wow, he's crazy good? No. He still went up in value by 6 quarterback spots, though. And that's ultimately what this reasoning for getting rookie quarterbacks is. Their value either maintains or it rises pretty consistently. And all you need to do is look at the NFL draft capital. It's like after a year, we have this like collective amnesia and we go, oh, you know what I should continue to value? The quarterbacks that didn't do much this past year, but you know, the year before, their NFL team, they gave them a bunch of draft capital. And so we need to treat them like they had that draft capital. It's not until they get to the second season that we realize, oh yeah, these guys aren't good, because that's how long it takes the NFL teams to do that. But if you're trying to accumulate value on your dynasty team, you can just hold on to them for a year and then sell them. Re-roll them for the next quarterbacks in the next draft class. And all of a sudden now you're basically, it's just bonus draft picks. You're, instead of having something that says, hey, this is the 107, you've got the 107 to the 111 that might also spike up to be valued like the 102 or the 101. You don't know. But I'll take that lottery ticket every single time that I get the huge spike up, somebody that I want to have on my dynasty team long term, or just after a year, I just get out. I sell them. I don't care. 2024, I want to go through what the quarterbacks looked like this past year. You get Caleb Williams. He goes from quarterback 7 to quarterback 9. And he has a fantasy finish of 16th in warp per game. That's all that he got, was 16th. And he has maintained his value more or less from quarterback 7 to quarterback 9. Drake May, he went from quarterback 17 to quarterback 8. You know where he finished on warp for the last year? 19th. Per game, he was 14th. You know how different he is than Caleb Williams? Not much in fantasy, but guess what? He went up in value by an absurd amount. Notice neither of these two guys were quarterback ones their rookie season, and we're valuing them already up there at quarterback 8 and quarterback 9. They have not shown consistency. They have not shown that they can do everything year over year. Caleb Williams, we're giving him a free pass because, you know, the head coach problem in Chicago, it was bad. And we're giving Drake May a free pass because he had no receivers to throw to. But they had these absurd value spikes. And if you just invested in them and you just ride them out and you're sitting here right now, you can just sell them, re-roll into something else. Take the bet that, you know what, they don't continue on. That everything that we're talking about, all these red flags, that they are in fact indicative of a larger problem. And it becomes something that's going to crop up this year and their value is going to plummet. But you got to hold on to essentially a free draft pick that also scored you points this past year. And now you're in a great spot. Jaden Daniels, he went from quarterback 12 to quarterback 2. Fantasy finish overall, number 3 in terms of warp. And Jaden Daniels, great. Now you have a rock solid dynasty piece on your roster. Or if you think something's going to change with him, maybe you just don't want to continue to hold on a ton of value into that one position. Awesome. Guess what? You can sell him to literally anybody else because everybody wants Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels is overall quarterback 2 flirting with quarterback 1. He's literally the same value as Josh Allen on Keep Trade Cut, both at 9999. So it probably just switches back and forth between who's quarterback 1 and quarterback 2 on any given day. And you have that asset now. All because you just said, you know what, I'm just going to draft that rookie quarterback. if you had instead gone and said, I'm going to get that Marvin Harrison Jr., now you're sitting on something that is worth way less than what you paid for it. If you'd gotten Malik Nabers, cool. Guess what? Malik Nabers still worth less than Jaden Daniels. Now, Malik Nabers did also spike in the same way Jaden Daniels did, but the odds that that happens compared to a quarterback and the floor, what would have happened if Malik Nabers had not done what he did, it would have dropped out way harder than it would have on Jaden Daniels. Michael Penix Jr. He went from quarterback 24 to quarterback 19. What did he do last year? He played a couple games at the end of the year, and he had one really good game in week 18 against the Carolina Panthers. Okay? Not high competition. Not a clutch game that was something where, you know, he had to really shoulder the team, and it was against a really tough opponent, and it was just a solid game against one of the worst defenses in the NFL. And what has he done? He's gone up in value by five positions. And he went from an early second round pick last year to a late first. He wasn't even supposed to play at all this year. And you know what that means? He would have been just like J.J. McCarthy and maintained his value. J.J. McCarthy does not play at all in the 2024 season. And he maintains his value of quarterback 18. We get a new draft class that comes in with new quarterbacks. You get Cam Ward coming in. And you know what? J.J. McCarthy just maintains his value. Literally nothing else happens. That is the power of this quarterback. Where, okay, it's a draft pick. He's not playing. Equate J.J. McCarthy to what we're expecting out of Jackson Dart. If out of New York, you end up with Russell Wilson starting and just playing all the games this season, cool. You know what Russell Wilson's also on? A one-year contract. And Jackson Dart is going to be the quarterback of the future there. He's going to spend an entire year learning from Russell Wilson, which is probably a great thing for him. And we're going to value him exactly the same as we do right now. So if you're looking to accumulate value, you just get yourself that Jackson Dart. You are not going to lose value on him. And more than likely, you're just going to be able to re-roll him next year if you need something. Or he's going to help you tank this year. He's going to be that solid zero on your team. But you don't need to try to pull a draft pick off somebody. You know everyone likes to hoard onto their draft picks. They understand the value of them. But having a quarterback that isn't going to play, that's also something that's just as valuable to anybody who's not contending. And that means it can be valuable to somebody who is contending right now. Because when you get to week three, you know what that rebuilder's going to want? They're going to want players that aren't going to score points. And you've got that beautiful, juicy quarterback who's going to maintain value. He's going to be worth the exact same thing as you get him right now and as he will be a year from now. And you can just hand it over and get those point scorers off their team. Because right now, everybody thinks they have the championship winning team. I know I do. I've been looking at my teams and going, man, I'm excited for this team this year. I guarantee you, most of my teams are not going to be competing for anything in the state that they're in. But darn, do they look good right now. So that's where getting that J.J. McCarthy type, that Jackson Dart, it can be extremely, extremely valuable for you. And then just to wrap up 2024, Bo Nix, quarterback 21 to quarterback 11. We didn't even know whether he was going to be starting week one at this time last year. We were just like, he got drafted. He'll probably take over from Jared Stidham at some point. But instead, he goes out there. He puts up a fantasy finish of 9. Like, that was an awesome finish for him. And so he jumps all the way up to quarterback 11. And so that rounds out a 2024 class where literally every single quarterback, except for Caleb Williams, went up in value. You had one go down by literally two spots from quarterback 7 to quarterback 9, and two of the people that he got passed by were people from the same draft class, and everyone else increases. So I'm using this as examples to say that these quarterbacks that are in the top 50, you want to have them on your team. You are already starting to see some of these spikes out of one of the players in this draft class. I cannot tell you how much Tyler Shough I have, if I'm even saying his name right. I genuinely don't know. All I know is he's a top 50 quarterback who went to the New Orleans Saints, and he was going at the like 208, 209 in rookie drafts. I accumulated so much of him because I would just draft him with all my mid-seconds. And then even when he fell to the late seconds, if I had one, boom, I was getting him. And now it looks like he's probably going to be a starting quarterback this next year. Am I going to be able to turn that for a nice little profit? Yeah, on all the teams that I want to. On all the teams that maybe I want to have a quarterback who's going to do okay in the point scoring department, then I'm just going to ride him out and see what he ends up being. All the Jackson Darts that are floating out there, I'm just scooping up Jackson Darts at the end of the first round because he's going to maintain or even increase that value. And there's no reason why I shouldn't be picking up a quarterback who is going to have a good amount of value. Why not get Jackson Dart now and then find out during the season, okay, I'm competing. Let me trade Dart for something else. Maybe I can use Dart to upgrade my quarterback position. Maybe I can use him to upgrade a different position. Maybe I can use him to do literally anything that I want on my team because he's basically a draft pick to half the league. And at that point, half the league is going to want draft pick-like players anyway. So that's what I'm going to use him as. He's just a draft pick with a name. But we all understand that. We all intuitively know that that is going to be his value. And so the last one is Cam Ward. Now, Cam Ward, he's going as the most expensive quarterback in this draft, by far. But when you're looking at, okay, what needs to happen for a guy that he's being compared against of Omarion Hampton or Travis Hunter or Tet McMillan. Those guys, they need to come out and they need to smash. They need to show that they are good. If Omarion Hampton does not completely lock down that Chargers backfield, he's immediately going down to like a second round draft pick. If you see Tet McMillan come out and he's not getting a ton of targets, and you're seeing that, hey, everything's going to Adam Thielen, everything's going to Jalen Coker, like, okay, well, guess what? Tet McMillan, his value is going to shoot downwards. He's going to be worth a second. Cam Ward goes out there. Cam Ward goes out and he is a mediocre quarterback. Well, guess what? The Titans suck. And they are going to need to rebuild that team. He'll be the starting quarterback next year. So he's still going to be worth a first round draft pick. And so it doesn't matter what you're looking at in terms of floor. The quarterback is going to be better. And more likely, they're going to just maintain an overall amount of value close to what their value is currently. And there's the chance that they go up. But the amount that the quarterback can go up is higher than the running back and receiver. The quarterback might be able to get up to quarterback 4 or 5. And quarterback 4 or 5 means that, hey, they're overall dynasty player 4 or 5. It doesn't mean that they're stuck behind quite a few other positions. Think about where wide receiver 4 is. Wide receiver 4 is the end of a first round in startup. Quarterback 4, literally the fourth player in the startup. Same thing goes with running back. Running back 4 is like all the way down most of the way towards the back of the second round in a startup. And that's like an extremely high ceiling outcome for a guy like Omarion Hampton. So that's why you invest in the quarterbacks, because you get the higher ceiling outcome, you get the higher floor outcome, you get basically they're likely to maintain value if they show anything decent, and you don't get all of the negativity. The median outcome, which is the outcome that is going to happen the most often, is one that works out great for them. The median outcome at any other position causes a decrease in value. So that's my case for quarterbacks. That's why you should be targeting them in your drafts. Just get them a pick or two above where they're normally going and just reap the value rewards. A year from now, you're going to be sitting pretty. That's obviously if you aren't able to push your picks to the future. If you're trying to accumulate value, you just keep pushing those picks into the future. Great. That's a way to do it. But if you can't do that, if your league mates are forcing you to make picks, because I know a lot of mine have been doing that to me, you just accumulate the value through the players. And those players are through the quarterbacks. So that's everything that I have for you this week. Don't forget to go check out everything at the South Harmon website, southharmonff.com. As always, feel free to reach out to me at Dynasty Koopa on X or Koopa Troopa 8, literally anywhere else. I'm always open to answering questions or talking with somebody about something that they've got going on in their leagues, or if they just want me to review something, etc. That's everything for this week, and as always, stay sharp and keep grinding that edge. I'll see you next week.